Welcome. It's Sunday, February 19th, 2023. Our scriptures this week are from Exodus 24, 12 through 18, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, 1 through 9, and 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21. The title of the message this week is The Mountaintop Experience. So if you would, please open your Bibles and read our scriptures with me today. In Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 through 18, we read, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you tablets of stone with the law and the commandments I have written for their instruction.' Well, then Moses set out with Joshua his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, 'Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them.' So when Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Well, then Moses entered the cloud, and as he went up onto the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Our reading from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 17, 1 through 9, the Transfiguration. So after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. And if you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' But while he was speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him.' So when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched him. 'Get up,' he said. 'Don't be afraid.' And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, 'Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead.'" And our final scripture from 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Starting verse 16, Peter writes, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. For this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." I've titled this week's message, The Mountaintop Experience. I mean, the term mountaintop experience, it comes from those moments in the Bible when God revealed himself to people on a mountain. Like the receiving of the Ten Commandments in the Transfiguration. So, mountaintop experience is a figure of speech that comes right out of the Holy Scriptures. So, what, biblically speaking, is a mountaintop experience? And if such an experience is to be sought after, how can the Christian have a mountaintop experience time and time again? So, if we use the Bible as our guide, there's no better place to meet the divine than on or around a mountain. At least, that pattern held true for the likes of Moses, Elijah, Jesus, and his disciples. Scripture gives us stories of literal mountaintop experiences that help us change our perspectives and our expectations for what it means to encounter God during those experiences. Moses climbed Mount Sinai again and again to commune with God, to better understand not just the essential laws for the life of his community, but the rhythms and the cycles of what their covenantal life together should be like in the Promised Land. Jesus' climbing of the mountains was not only to receive, but to give a new interpretation and an understanding of those laws, shaping our communal life together as Christians through the Sermon on the Mount, and in our text today to reveal who he is to us all. And in our lesson from Exodus, the Lord says to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you tablets of stone with the law and the commands I have written for their instruction." Then Moses sets out with Joshua his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. This turned out to be one of the most pivotal events in human history, for there he received the Ten Commandments. Well, then in Matthew 17, we read about another pivotal and mysterious event that occurred on the mountain. Jesus is on the mountain with his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. And on this mountain, these three disciples saw Jesus transfigured and identified by God as his son. In our reading from the epistle, Peter testifies to that startling event. He writes, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" I mean, we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. So I want to give you an invitation to learn today about mountaintop experiences, the mysterious things that happen while waiting on God during mountaintop experiences. Maybe like Peter, you can be an eyewitness to the presence of God revealed in your mountaintop experiences. A little boy asked his mother, "Marriage makes you have babies, doesn't it, Mom?" Well, the mother reluctantly answered her son, "Well, not exactly. Just because you are married doesn't mean you have a baby." Well, the boy continued his inquiry, "Then how do you have babies?" Well, his mother, not very enthusiastic about continuing, answered, "It's kind of hard to explain." Well, the boy paused and thought for a moment. He then moved closer to Mom, looked her right in the eye, and carefully said, "You don't really know how it works, do you, Mom?" Well, believe it or not, this is one of the most dreaded Sundays in the Christian year for folks who use the lectionary for their preaching. Why? Because it deals with the transfiguration of Jesus. Generally, this is one of those, "What does that mean and how am I supposed to explain that?" sort of passages. It's difficult because, like the little boy told his mother, we don't really know how it works. And when you don't know how something works, it's hard to explain. Well, in our gospel reading, Jesus led Peter, James, and John up on a high mountain. The account in Luke 9, 28 through 36 tells us to pray. So Jesus takes a sort of midweek mini-retreat and invites three or four original disciples to go with him. I'm almost sure they were excited. They're up on the mountaintop, they're praying up a storm, when all of a sudden Jesus flipped open his communicator and says, "Two to beam down, Mr. Scott." And then there's Moses and Elijah standing with Jesus, like an episode of Star Trek. Moses and Elijah are suddenly standing there like two ghosts from the past. They appeared right out of thin air. Well, that's not the way it really happened, but in the light of today's readings, I hoped and prayed that it would get your attention. Scripture says the disciples were terrified. I've always wanted to tell the other, "No fooling." We would have been terrified. I mean, out of the clear blue sky, the guy we've been traveling with for the past 2 or 3 years start to glow and shine like some special effects in a science fiction movie. And then ghosts of two of Israel's most powerful and beloved ancestors are standing with him. You'd bet we'd be terrified. Well, then, just as suddenly as they appeared, Moses and Elijah are gone, and Jesus is back to normal. But not before we hear from God and not before Peter sticks his foot in his mouth. Talk about a strange passage. What are we supposed to make of this passage? And how does it fit into our daily lives? Well, one thing is clear. The disciples witnessed Jesus like they'd never seen him before. On this day, they saw him as Moses and Elijah always see him, as God always sees him. They saw him as we will see him when he returns. They saw Jesus in his full glory. It wasn't a Hollywood special effects or some kind of a trick. I mean, we're often like a parrot in the story of a brilliant magician who was performing on an ocean liner. But every time he did the trick, the captain's parrot would yell, "It's a trick! He's a phony! That's not magic!" Then one evening during a storm, the ship sank while the magician was performing. The parrot and the magician ended up on the same lifeboat. And for several days, they just glared at each other, neither saying a word to the other. And finally, the parrot said, "Okay, I give up. What did you do with the ship?" Well, contrast that with what we see taking place on the mountain. Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the mountaintop so they might renew their spirits and gain some spiritual insight. But Peter didn't get it right then. And you can't really blame him. Talk about a Kodak moment. I mean, all those biblical figures gathered in one place. Once he got over his fear of the unknown and recognized the glory of the moment, Peter went into action. He wanted to memorialize the event. He wanted to build 3 shelters in which to worship. He basically put his foot in his mouth by saying, "Lord, it is good for us to be here, and if you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But Peter instantly expresses his lack of understanding. I mean, the 3 shelters or tabernacles, I believe, are not meant to represent the Mosaic tabernacle, but more likely stem from the Feast of the Tabernacles in Leviticus. I mean, when many Jews built shelters out of branches and dwelt in them for the 7-day festival. Peter may have simply wanted to prolong the experience, but he was quite mistaken. His error is pretty clear. He has made Elijah and Moses equal to Jesus. That will be corrected by God himself, for they are God's messengers, and Jesus is his son. So it's pretty clear that Peter just blurts out the first thing that pops into his head. The other disciples are terrified and nearly speechless. I can almost imagine seeing Jesus give Peter the eye, as if to say, "No, our work isn't on the mountain. It's back down in the valley." And that's when God got Peter's attention by speaking up. Basically, God said, "Be quiet and listen." Matthew records it this way: "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." So one of the things we can learn from this passage is to listen. To listen to God and to listen to Jesus, the Son of God. I mean, as the psalmist wrote, "Be still and know that I am God," in Psalms 46:10. The mountaintop experience teaches us to listen. Matthew 17 records for us in verses 7 and 8. Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." So when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Their mountaintop experience teaches us not only to listen to God, but to have no fear when we focus on Jesus. We're invited to listen to God, and we're invited to see and focus only on Jesus. And that's hard to do. It was hard for Peter. It's equally as difficult, if not harder, for us. I mean, look at all the things we have to distract us. School, family, career, politics. I mean, all those things can get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. Not to mention other things like computers, and video games, TV, radio, music, sports, careers, movies, etc. They can all cause us to lose our focus on Jesus. I mean, we let other things, less important things, less meaningful things, sometimes even trivial things, distract us from our purpose, which is to love and to serve God with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. We let other things get in the way of our relationship with God, when what we are called to do is to stay focused. We're called to stay focused, and we're called to help others stay focused too by being eyewitnesses of what God can do. We're called to listen to God and to focus on Jesus only. And when that happens, we will be transformed. You see, I don't think this passage is so much about Jesus being transformed right before their very eyes, as it is a transforming moment for Peter, James, and John. In this moment of transfiguration, it's not Jesus' appearance that changes. Peter, James, and John's perception of Jesus changes too. I mean, until this moment, they suspected some things, but they weren't positive about who Jesus was. But from this moment on, there could be no doubt. God had spoken, and all three of them had heard it. And all three of them witnessed the transfiguration. And all three of them saw Moses and Elijah standing with the one whom God called his beloved son. Well, they were transformed by this experience. But it wasn't an instant transformation. It was an ongoing, slow, day-by-day process. If it had been instant, Peter wouldn't have run away at the crucifixion or doubted prior to Pentecost. For some, like the Apostle Paul, transformation happens overnight. But most of us get transformed a little at a time, like building up your savings. I mean, we are transformed gradually by a faith relationship with Jesus and with others who love and serve Jesus. I mean, we're transformed through the guidance and the presence of God's Holy Spirit in our daily lives by those everyday mountaintop experiences when God reveals who we are, his children. I mean, Christianity is in the business of transformation by God. I mean, our mountaintop experiences, they transform us from sinners to saints, from a life of turmoil to a life of peace, from a destiny of death to a destiny to life eternal. Because we who believe have been transformed into his children. And one day, if we live faithfully as eyewitnesses to his grace, we may hear him say, "This is my child, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." So our challenge is to continue to listen to God, to stay focused on Jesus only. We may not really know how it works, but when we listen to God and focus on Jesus only, God's work of transformation continues, and lives are changed a little at a time by the mountaintop experiences that God provides. Well, in his service, this has been Pastor Joe.